Would you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 5? I got my title of this message from the last phrase of verse 22 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Well, how do you go about doing that?
If I'm a believer,
I possess a pure heart. The Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I have a pure heart, the heart given in the new birth, the heart that does not sin. I also have a heart that is anything but pure. And I am continually aware of that heart. Paul said, when I would do good, evil. Evil. That's a strong word, isn't it? Evil is present with me. How do I keep myself pure? This is a command. Keep yourself pure. This is a command. How am I to obey that command? Now let's look at this passage surrounding this command, and then we're going to zero in on this command. Keep yourself pure. Look in verse 21. I charge thee. I solemnly charge thee is the word. I give a solemn testimony to thee. And this charge is in the sight of God. It's in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in the sight of the elect angels. I like this name for the angels, don't you? The elect angels. The only angels that did not fall with Satan are the elect angels. The reason they did not fall is they were elected not to fall. The elect angels. Angels. All the rest are demons. Are there demons? Absolutely. But this charge is given before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ and before the elect angels. And here's the charge. That thou observe, guard over, carefully watch these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Observe all of these things. Everything he said in this epistle and everything said in this book. Now listen real carefully. There's nothing in this book that's of secondary importance. God revealed it. People try to say, well, this is important and this is less important. Who are you to make a judgment like that? None of us have the sense to make a judgment like that. Remember how the Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, observe all things. If God said it, it's of great importance. And don't prefer something he said over something else he said. You know, we have all have inclinations where we might like something better than the other. He said, don't do that. Don't give anything any preference. Everything is to be obeyed, preached completely. The whole counsel of God is to be obeyed. Whatever is said is of great importance. And don't be partial. Don't let your inclination let something slip. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. All of His revealed Word we dare not leave out. We preach the absolute sovereignty of God. And I love preaching the absolute sovereignty of God. That means, more than anything else, whether or not you're saved or whether or not I'm saved is totally up to Him. You have no control. You know, I like that. I like that. And I also like to preach the absolute responsibility of men. You and I are commanded and are responsible to believe the gospel, to repent, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to call on His name, to walk in obedience to Him, to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and to follow Him. We preach the whole counsel of God. We're to love Him. We're to love our brothers. We're to love our enemies. We preach the whole counsel of God. Look what He says next in verse 22. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Let somebody prove themselves. Somebody comes in here. He's here 2 or 3 weeks. All of a sudden, you know, he's ready to assume a position of leadership. No. Let him be proved. Don't lay hands suddenly on anyone. Watch him. Wait. It's so foolish. I've seen this happen so many times where somebody comes in that has some kind of supposed gifts and let's make him a teacher. Let's make him a leader. No. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Let him come as a hearer and a hearer only. Nothing more. Just wait and see what the Lord does with that person. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. If somebody does this, don't you be a partaker in it. You see, it's a sin to lay your hand suddenly on somebody. There's just flesh behind it. And if somebody does it, you don't be a partaker of it. And don't be a partaker of anybody's sins. Don't join in. Don't jump on the bandwagon. You withdraw yourself. Don't be a partaker of somebody else's sin or rebellion or whatever it might be. You stay away from it. I like that passage of Scripture where the Lord said through John, He said, if any man come into your house without this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, don't bid him Godspeed. If you even bid him Godspeed, if you even wish him well, you're a partaker of his evil deeds. You're just as guilty as he is. So don't be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. We're going to come back to that. Verse 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Timothy was a sickly man. He got sick a lot. He had often infirmities. And Paul tells him to drink a little wine. Not a lot of wine, a little wine. Wine's good for you. I think one of the most ridiculous things I ever hear is where people try to say, well, what wine is sin or alcohol sin. No, it's not. Paul told Timothy, drink some wine. Drink a little wine. For that, a little, not drunkenness, not intoxication, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And just that, you know, Walter Gruber told me that all of his stomach problems left when he started drinking a little wine. So I believe that. I mean, I believe that. Drink a little wine. The Bible says to do that. Drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand. It's obvious. You look at their lives. You look at their conduct. You look at their words. You look at their attitude. You look at the things they do. It's obvious they're enemies of Christ. It's obvious they're going to be judged and going to be condemned. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before them to judgment. No one wonders about them. Some men, they follow after. There are others who have sins that nobody sees, or perhaps sins that they're unaware of. That's a scary thought, isn't it? You know, David said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Faults I'm not even aware of. You know, there are those who think that they're very good people, very righteous people, and they have no idea that actually they're very evil before God. And they do not have these, whatever it is they think they have. But it's going to be exposed at that time. It'll all be exposed. They'll go behind them and they will show up. But one of the things I thought about, beginning right here, all of us are a whole lot worse than we think we are. You believe that? All of us. Funny thing, we see faults in others so very clearly. And those exact same faults, somehow they're not so bad in us. We're all like that. But likewise, verse 25, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. It's obvious they're walking with Christ. It's obvious that they're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's others who, it's not as obvious. It's just not as obvious. But they'll follow them. Their works will follow them. They won't be hid. It will be seen. You know, every believer, every one of God's elect, you may not even see it. But every one of God's elect will have works that give evidence that they really did believe the gospel. What did the Lord say to every one of the seven churches? What's the first thing He said? Remember? I know thy works. I know thy works. Well, back to this commandment, keep yourself pure. And that's a commandment to me. That's a commandment to you. Keep yourself pure. Now, those that are kept, and the only way I'm going to keep myself is if God keeps me. Don't you know that? Don't you know that the only way that you'll keep yourself is if God keeps you? If He doesn't keep me, I will fall away. I'll leave Him. The Scripture says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I'm awful interested in that, aren't you? To be kept. Kept by God. Kept by His power. Kept from falling. Now those that are kept through keeping themselves. Those that are kept through keeping themselves. Now this word keep means two things. It means first of all to guard. If you keep watch, you guard, you're the keepers of the prison. You guard things to keep things from getting out. Guard from to keep things from entering in. You guard. That's what it means to keep. You guard. And it also means to keep as in you keep a commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not just know what they are. Not just be able to accurately describe what the commandment itself, but keep it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now we have a new nature that's called upon to watch out against the old nature. I'm called upon to keep myself pure and to guard over the things of purity and don't let myself become contaminated and defiled. Now, we have a new nature that's pure, that's holy, that does not sin. And we have an old nature that is nothing but sin. Now, are you aware of that? Are you aware that new nature is the nature that loves God? That new nature is the nature that believes the gospel. You know, that new nature is the nature that owns the sins of the old nature. The old nature wouldn't own them. It's the new nature that does this. It's the new nature that abides in the Lord Jesus Christ and continues in the faith. It's the new nature that looks away from self and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ and won't look anywhere else. That's the new nature. That's a holy nature. Born of God, can something be begotten of God and have any corruption in it? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Is spiritual. Without sin. He that's born of God doth not commit sin, the Scripture says. That new nature doesn't commit sin. Now, I realize that this is hard to understand. How you can have a nature that doesn't commit any sin at all, that's perfectly holy, and you also have at the exact same time an evil nature that doesn't do anything but sin. That's hard to get hold of, isn't it? But if you're a believer, you just know it's so. I can't explain it. I just know it's what the Scripture teaches. And I know it's so. I find that in my experience. Now, how do we go about keeping ourselves pure, uncontaminated, and undefiled? Well, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to look at the Scriptures that talk about us keeping something. If I'm to keep myself pure, this is what I will be doing. Now, 1 John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. You know, an unbeliever can never understand a believer. Now, a believer can understand an unbeliever. I do. Somebody says, you don't understand. I do understand. I do. I know what you're thinking. I know why you think it. I've been there. I'm just like you. I understand an unbeliever. A believer can understand an unbeliever, but an unbeliever cannot possibly understand a believer. The world knoweth us not. Don't expect for them to. I want somebody to see Christ in me. They didn't see Christ in Christ. They saw no glory in Him. They saw no beauty in Him. They hated Him. The world knoweth not because it knew Him not. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now even John, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I don't know what it's going to be like to be without sin. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I mean, can you imagine not having a sinful thought? Can you imagine not having a sinful motive? I can't even fantasize about it. John couldn't either. Even writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he couldn't. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Charles Spurgeon had a sermon on that verse of Scripture, and he entitled it, The Beatific Vision. We shall see Him as He is. And do you know that that sight, seeing Him as He is, will conform you completely to His image? That's how powerful that sight will be. I'll be just like Him. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, what's he do? He purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Let's go on reading. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, this is the hope we have in Him. In Him is no sin. Now this hope I have in Him is that in Him I have. Not I will have one of these days, but right now I have no sin. Now you know what folks who have that hope in Him do? They purify themselves. Even as He is pure. We keep ourselves pure by keeping His words. John 14, verse 23, the Lord said, if a man love me, he will keep, he will guard over, he will watch over my words. You see, I find all my hope in what He said. I can't emphasize that enough. All my hope is in what He said in His Word. In Him is no sin. My hope of having no sin is because He said, in Him is no sin. And I tell you what, somebody tries to change that in any way, I'm not going to have it. Not for me. No, I'm going to guard over His words. All the doctrine of the gospel, I guard over it. It's all important. I don't want to change it in any way. I guard it. And somebody tries to change it, they come in here and try to say something different other than what the Bible says, we won't have it. If we love Him, we keep, we guard over, we watch His words because we find all of our hope and all of our salvation in His words. We keep ourselves pure by keeping His commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what's that mean? Does it mean you've got to keep the Ten Commandments? Well, I'll have to say yes. When Jesus Christ kept the Ten Commandments, I kept the Ten Commandments. That's why I don't try to keep the law. I've kept it. We've kept His commandments. I love God's law. I'm not afraid of it. I'll go before God's law and say, look me over. See if you find anything wrong. There's nothing there. Even the law of God cannot find anything wrong with me. The law of God says, bring him to heaven. He's without fault. We keep His commandments. But that's really, I don't think, what He's talking about. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Well, you're already there, I guess. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe on the name of His Son right now? Then you are actually keeping His commandment. I really believe the name of Christ is my only entrance into heaven. I keep His commandment. And next He says, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Do you love the children of God? Do you keep that commandment? I keep that commandment. I do. Now, to love Him is to keep His commandments. And there's nothing. Look over in chapter 5, verse 3. Or verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You know, if you believe the gospel, that means you love God and you love His people. It surely does. And look in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. It's not irksome. It's not at all grievous to believe on the name of the Son, is it? To know that His name is what brings you into glory. That you're saved for His name's sake. It's not grievous to love His children. It's glorious. It's not grievous. There's nothing as purifying as to the soul as obeying the truth. Turn back a couple of pages to 1 Peter. Verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. This is 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world. And there is sorrow in the world, isn't there? There's much sorrow in the world. What does it do? It works death. But godly sorrow, true sorrow before God over your sin, it works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. For look in verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation against yourself. Yea, what fear of yourself. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you prove yourself to be clear. And that word clear is the same word as pure. That word right there is pure. Godly sorrow that works repentance is purifying to the soul. You know, they had gone through a period of what Paul called being puffed up. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You're puffed up and you've not mourned. But then the Lord granted them repentance. And what I thought about was like David. Do you remember David went a whole year after the thing with Bathsheba in a hard heart? He went through the time, the process of Bathsheba being pregnant, actually having a child, and he never repented. He went through a hard period. For a year. And then the Lord sent Nathan to him. You remember the story. Nathan the prophet. He came to David and he told him about this rich man who had a lot of flocks and one man who had one little lamb that he loved and set at his table. It actually ate with him at his table. And he treated it as if it was his daughter. And a stranger came through and came to the rich man's house, and the rich man didn't want to use one of his little lambs, so he took that poor man's lamb and he slew it and he fed it to him. And David was enraged. He said, get the man, he's surely going to die. I'm going to make sure he's dead. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And you know what David did? He said, I've sinned against the Lord. He had godly sorrow. I realize no one will have godly sorrow until the Lord gives it to them. But when he does, you'll have godly sorrow over your sin. And when he said, I've sinned against the Lord, you know what Nathan said to him? The Lord hath put away thy sin. You're in 2 Corinthians, turn to chapter 11. For I'm jealous over you, verse 2, with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin, a pure virgin. That's the word. That word chaste is pure. A pure virgin to Christ. Now, what is a pure virgin to Christ? Well, he warned him, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, through his deceit, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, what is a chaste virgin to Christ, a pure virgin to Christ? It's someone who has not been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You know, while religion is complicated, the gospel's not. Aren't you thankful for that? I've got a simple salvation. Jesus Christ. Being found in Him. I have a simple object of faith. It's Christ only. I look to Him. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking for everything God requires of me. He looks to His Son for. Everything God requires from me, I look to His Son for. Same thing. I look same place God does. God looks to Christ. I look to Christ. Very simple. I have a simple reason for being forgiven. For Christ's sake. No other reason. Simple cause of salvation, Christ. Simple ground of assurance, Jesus Christ. Who He is and what He did is all I need. I have a simple desire to win Christ and to be found in Him. We keep ourselves pure and chaste by not being corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. We keep ourselves pure, as Jude says, by keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, that does not mean that I do stuff to keep myself in the love of God. It doesn't mean that I do stuff to make myself lovely to Him. It doesn't mean that at all. I am lovely to Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. I only know that by faith. That when God sees me, He sees me as the object of His desire. Just like He sees Christ as the object of His desire. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. That's what God says to every believer. I keep myself in the love of God in this sense. I don't leave that. I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Herein is love, not that we love God. How? But that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Behold, I love you with an everlasting love. God can't love me any more than He does. And He can't love me any less than He does. Because He's God. God can't love less. God can't love more. His love is altogether perfect in Christ Jesus. And I keep myself right there. I keep myself in the love of God. I'm not looking anywhere else. James 1:27, would you turn there? This is how you keep yourself pure. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself Now, do you see that? To keep himself unspotted from the world. We keep ourselves unspotted from the philosophy of this world, from the values of this world, from the ambitions of this world, from the psychology of this world, from the religion of this world that hates the living God. Don't think like the world thinks. The world thinks wrong. The world thinks wrong. Wrong thoughts of God. Wrong thoughts of truth. Keep yourself unspotted from this world. That's how you keep yourself pure. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's how to keep yourself pure. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What is it to walk worthy? With all lowliness, humility, a non-inflated view of yourself, a just estimate of yourself that makes you esteem others as better than yourself. That's what humility does. And with meekness, not murmuring, but meekness, knowing that everything God sends our way is right. He's God. We might not understand it, but it's best because He did it. Whatever the Lord sends your way, it's best, isn't it? Because the Lord did it. You may not understand it. You don't need to understand it. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's what meekness is. Meekness before God. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know what that means? I love this. Putting up with one another. Putting up with one another. Forgiving one another. Forbearing one another. You know, if you're going to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to forgive me. You're going to have to put up with me. You're going to have to love me for Christ's sake. Now, I want to treat you in a way that you don't get mad at me. I really do. I want to treat you in a way that makes you love me. That's the way I ought to treat you. And when I don't, I'm sorry. But when I don't, bear with me. Bear with me. Love me for Christ's sake. And I want to do the same thing with you. I want to bear with you. I want to love you for Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Forbearing one another in love. Now look what he says in verse 3. Endeavoring, giving every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, giving every effort, everything you can do, to take the lowest seat. To not be the problem. I want to ask you a question. I'm asking myself this question. Do I ever think maybe I'm the problem? Well, if I don't, you can write this down. I am the problem. I am. Endeavor. Give every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Philippians chapter 4. A few pages over. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. We looked at this last Sunday night. I love it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. This isn't human. This isn't something we can get from human means. It's a divine gift that comes from trusting Christ. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever's pure, the gospel, Jesus Christ Himself, His way of saving sinners. The gospel of His grace. That's pure, isn't it? That's lovely. It's a good report. It's of power and virtue. Now, in doing those things, I keep myself pure. Now, I want to close with this thought. I wonder if there's anybody thinking that's fine and dandy for you to say, keep yourself pure. But what if you're overall defiled and as bad as a devil? How are you supposed to keep yourself pure if you're like that? Look to Christ, even now. And as defiled as you are, you will be as pure and holy and without fault as the white and the driven snow. How can I be pure? By resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His purity is my purity. Keep yourselves pure. May God enable us to do that. Let's pray together.